You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to New Retirement Radio on WTCM News Talk 580 every Thursday at this time with the gang from Prout Financial Design, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, Ron. It is great to be here on Thursday, 8/25/22. Yes. It is great to be here. Thank you. For those of you who are listening, boy, there is a lot going on, obviously, and not only in Washington, D.C., but on the financial front. We're going to be talking with Ms. Heidi Cartwright, RICP, and Managing Executive. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. Whoop. Good to be here today.
Wait a minute. Let's get that mic on.
Look at that. Mic on.
Testing.
There you go. So you're going to be talking about what this morning? What?
Oh, you are going to be talking about ketchup.
Yes. Ketchup.
Oh, no. And Deanne will have all the information on mustard.
I was waiting for that, Ron. Good job.
Mm-hmm. So ketchup contributions, how does that work? Could you take advantage of them? And why? Why might you possibly might want to, why you might want to take advantage of that, not only in your IRA, Roth IRA, 403Bs, 401Ks, the whole alphabet soup, of financial plans, retirement accounts. And Deanne Jennings, of course. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning.
Hey, it's great to have you here. Our own director of operations, talking about stats. Ooh, some interesting ones this morning. It was just fascinating looking at those. The one I don't see is, never mind, I'm not going to make a joke about the loan forgiveness program here this morning. Too much to talk about otherwise, right? So lots to discuss, and I'm going to be talking first in the program about the current interest rate environment, inflation, where we see interest rates going, as well as inflation, and then megatrends, which is just amazing. The technological, we've talked about this somewhat in the past, but the tech changes that are going to be looking us right straight in the eyes here in the coming few years, even quantum computing and its impact on us. And they're talking about supercomputers as though it's, you know, something in the deep rear view mirror, and it's all about quantum computing now and the speed at which they are able to take information, huge amounts of data, and they're calling this something bigger than the discovery of fire. Now that goes back.
That was a little ways back.
Yeah.
That had an impact.
Yeah. There's a movie where he was all excited about fire. I think it was Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He was trying to create fire. So the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, 12-month year-over-year inflation rate could fall towards 5% by the end of this year. Now, the most recent number was 9.05% year-over-year, 905, as of 7/29/905. They're saying that we're going to have a rather significant fall in the inflation numbers. This is interesting. Now, this inflation information came from a Mr. Paul McCulley, who was the former PIMCO. PIMCO is, or was, the largest bond manager in the nation. So, not a stupid person. And he is greatly respected in economic circles. He is saying the CPI could easily decline to 5% annual rate in the near term, but not to the Federal Open Market Committee's 2% target rate. He's saying it could decline to 5%.
So that's inflation you're talking about,
inflation,
right?
Inflation rate, yeah. CPI, okay. Consumer Price Index, yes. Number two, the Fed is no longer behind the curve, it does not have to aggressively raise rates from here. That's interesting as well. That can have a significant impact on the economy and obviously then interest rates.
That is interesting.
Thank you. Okay. Well, what that means is we're still in a recessionary type economy, and the demand for money is declining. Hmm. So there is, according to Mr. McCulley, he is saying we're not going to be looking at any 0.75% rate hikes. Last one was 0.75 or 75 bips, as they refer to it, basis points. Mm. They're talking about a 50 basis point or a 0.5% rate hike probable in September. Then next, over the next 6 to 12 months, a total of 1% interest rate hikes by the Fed, which is not nearly as much as they were saying before. And everyone was really kind of talking about deer in the headlights sort of thing. So if this is indeed accurate, a 1% increase, not nearly so ominous.
Right? If you say maybe a half in September and another 1% above
another
that,
half a percent beyond half, that okay. to equal a total of 1.
Where's that bring us then, roughly, for interest rates then?
Well, right now, is a for instance, a T-bill rate's about 3%. So probably in the range of 4 for short-term rates. Okay. A soft landing might happen if incoming data is no weaker than it is now. So that whole CPI inflation thing, inflation really starting to trend lower, and thus interest rates by the Fed, not, you know, everyone's crossing their fingers at that that possibility, not raising as well, much of a softer landing, hopefully, for the economy. All right, changing the subject to...
Just an abstract question here general, that... all the political nuances and adjustments and legislation out of Washington, administration after administration, impacts the economy, but it's like its own monster. It just roars on, doesn't it? The economy, it kind of figured, the economy, I mean, people working, investing, creating wealth, it just kind of keeps moving on.
Well, so many people who are still self-employed and or companies, they're making these adjustments as we go.
Yeah,
they're cutting cost. Oh, you bet. So what was the most recent employer cutting 2,000? Oh, Ford.
Ford is cutting 3,000 jobs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're trying to morph into electric vehicle production. So they're always making these changes on the fly, fast. So if expenses are going to be increasing, I'll just say it, vis-a-vis higher tax rates, given that we have a lot more IRS agents out there, people will make those adjustments on the fly. You know, they'll say to their possible accountant, if that's the case, you know, you need to sharpen your pencil, right? He or she may say, no, you're fine. You know, don't worry about it. But those conversations are happening right now. You know, do I need to make certain that I'm being more careful about how aggressive I am? All those conversations happen in these companies, and they make these changes on the fly. They look at how to cut costs, how to be more efficient, and in some cases they cut people if they have to. So these, even though they seem ominous coming out of Washington, D.C., they certainly are costly, and we'll see that impact on the consumer. Mm-hmm. So the consumer is already making their adjustments too. Now, I'm not saying they don't have an impact. I'm not saying that at all. But everyone makes those adjustments. For instance, if taxes go up, just because you asked a question, what will people do? They will look at these catch-up contributions much more aggressively. They'll say, listen, I am not going to pay that much more tax. I'm not going to do it. So what do? They avoid the tax. Now, by the way, tax avoidance is the legal part of this whole deal. People will spend less then. Well, we don't have as much money to spend. We're not going to take quite as many trips. That does have an impact on the economy because they're saving more because they're trying to avoid the tax.
So the market works despite all of the interference, if you will, changes. It reacts, it responds, and it moves forward. Sometimes it's slowed, but it reacts.
The noise coming out of Washington is almost cacophonous. You know, I made up that word on my own.
I like it.
Surprise. It's just insane. So for all of us out here trying to operate, you know this. You got to keep one eye on what's going on there and just keep the other eye on. That's the defense part. But you have to keep your eye on the offense. What are we going to do about this? How do we make these changes? How do we help? There it is. How do we help our clients adjust to this, given that's the reality? So, yes, fascinating. Now, the current Barons has a very interesting interview with Haim Israel. I think that's how to pronounce his name. He is the head of global thematic research at Bank of America. Now, Bank of America, not a small company, obviously a very large bank. They happen to own Merrill Lynch as well. Mm. All right. He's a thinker about important long-term trends. Now, what he's saying about quantum computing is really interesting. He is saying this. He is saying, he's calling this a moonshot technology. He is saying we are creating so much data right now that 5G will have to be replaced much faster than people are thinking. 5G, I mean, they're just introducing this now, right? This hyper-speed communications ability that phones are having and all this sort of thing. They're saying we're going to move to 6G much more quickly. The biggest game changer is quantum computing, however. By the end of this decade, most people would say by 2029, 2030, you know, that sort of thing. So 7 years or so, seven and a half. By the end of this decade, the number of calculations that we can make will be more than the atoms in the visible universe.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot of atomic material. This could be a revolution for humanity bigger than fire, bigger than the wheel, bigger than the wheel.
Yeah! Look what I have created! I have made fire! I have made fire!
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, Ron. Perfect quote. So, this is amazing, and I was looking up... the IBM website, because they volunteered to give me some more information on this. Quantum computing, in the future of big data. Just a little bit of an explanation, perhaps, on what quantum computing is. Are we ready for a paragraph here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think I followed you, Dennis, yes. Quantum computing is fundamentally different in that it uses what's called quantum bits, qubits. You may have heard that term, which expand the binary limits by following quantum logic represented as a one or zero of digital data and the logic of superposition, in which a qubit is represented not by just one state, but by both a one and a zero at the same time. So they don't have to, the processing time is just exponentially increased. So what's also bringing this bringing about these changes are, what's happening with this computation ability is we're no longer looking at a 2 to 3 year doubling of computer power. It's happening now exponentially. It's happening much faster than every 2 to 3 years.
So with those speeds, and when you say data, we're creating so much data, what does that mean exactly? I mean, and how will it be applied to information?
Well, application is, we can only guess, but if they can compute, if they can look at data at a huge set of data where a supercomputer would normally get bogged down and try to find anomalies or issues that are within that data, it would get lost, literally. It would get slowed down so much because of the volume of data. Well, a quantum computer can look at all that data and look at and see the anomalies, see the issues that are related there, and then pick out the most valuable pieces. Hmm. Pick out the gold from the silver, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that, right? It exists in an unrecognized combination, and once that data is called, it is compiled into one of the definite states as a one or zero. Superposition is what makes qubits more impressive because it decreases the number of operations. There it is. Yeah. Decreases the number of operations needed to solve complex problems by being able to run calculations. By the way, this is not from IBM. Who is this from? By simultaneously doing those computations at higher speeds and with less power consumption. So these things aren't overheating, if you will.
Hmm.
All right. ISG is the site that I got this from.
So the ones that, the ones and zeros are the bits, and every, you know, things go through
the
a computer.
Qubits, as I the qubits.
Yeah, as I understand right. it, and the computer has to, like you say, what's 2 plus 2? And the computer figures that out by going through a process where the one says yes, the zero says no, or whatever. But all of that came from Claude Shannon of Gaylord, Michigan, the father of information theory. It all started there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. It's amazing.
He's Ron, the guy.
The history guy. Historicity in front of us.
Claude Shannon.
Beautiful.
Man.
So what we'll be able to know and understand, the robotics, the amazing changes we're going to see.
Boy.
It's just going to be...
Artificial intelligence, robotics.
AI, and the top 10 companies in that, just because you asked.
Wow.
Top 10 companies. Who's number one?
In AI?
In AI. In artificial intelligence.
Microsoft.
In this quantum computing. Good guess. Microsoft is number two.
Okay.
IBM is number one in quantum computing. IBM still number one. Three is Google, Amazon, Intel, Toshiba, Honeywell, and three others I've never heard of before. So anyway, some names you might recognize. Quantum computing. Huge changes occurring in the next decade that we can only imagine. Mm. Pretty cool stuff, eh, Hal?
Pretty cool stuff.
Now, the last piece of information from the Wall Street Journal. The rate of inflation is most likely going to, trying to gaze into the future here. Now, this is a quote from Charles Goodhart, the former head of, a former UK central banker, head of banking in Great Britain. Charles Goodhart predicts inflation would hit between 5 and 10% in 2021 and stay high, and he was correct. What he's saying is it's not going to trend lower. He is saying instead of a 1 to 2% inflation rate for the next year is because of the shortage of employees around the world because of the population shifts. The coronavirus pandemic, he says, will mark the dividing line between the deflationary forces of the last 30 to 40 years and the resurgent inflation in the next two decades, 20 years, obviously. He's an 85-year-old economist, and this is his quote in an interview. He predicted that inflation in advanced economies will settle in at, 3 to 4% around the end of 22 and remain at that level for decades, as we just mentioned. So we're get used to a more not resurgent inflation, but certainly higher than it has been. And in terms of what this is going to mean for us and for retirement planning, in trying to say, instead of using 1 to 2% for cost increases, count on 3 to 4%, perhaps even more. We're using about 6 in the cost of
healthcare. Cost of living, you're saying.
Cost of living most likely is going to be at least in the range of 3 to 4%. So you want to plan for that in your financial planning. Plan for higher inflation rates going forward. Next is Heidi Cartwright with the catch-up. Contributions.
This is the retirement kind of ketchup.
I'm sure it tastes good.
Yeah, so this is called catching up with the ketchup contributions. So ketchup contributions offer a benefit for retirement savers who are a little bit older. Those who, most of the time, it's those who are over 50. And that these catch-up contributions allow older account holders to funnel extra dollars into their IRA or maybe their company plan. So each kind of a retirement account has its own separate rules, of course, because one rule doesn't fit all.
Complexity is job security for us here at Proud Financial. Mm. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
So for IRA, simple IRAs and workplace saving plans or your 401k, catch-up contributions for a particular year are available for those who are 50. So you can turn 50 anytime during that year, and you can start on a pattern of contributing even if you haven't turned 50, as long as you'll be 50 by the end of that year.
By 12/31 of that year, if you turn 50 by then.
So at any point during the year, you can make that contribution.
Right.
So the age 50 catch-up limit for 2022 for traditional IRAs or Roth IRAs is $1,000. So that would make you able to put in at least $7,000 into an IRA or a Roth IRA. For people under 50, the limit is $6,000, so that extra $1,000. Now, for spouses of people who are working. So maybe you're a stay-at-home person and you're not working, but your spouse is. Your limit increases when you turn 50 as well, and you can put in that extra $1,000. So it works for the spouse as well as the earner, the income earner.
In terms of getting it to be able to make an IRA contribution, Roth or regular, depending on income, of course, but that's a nice catch-up provision as well. So even if you're not working, you may be able to do a Roth or regular IRA.
That's right, and that's a good point. You have to have at least that amount of earned income to contribute that into an IRA or a Roth.
Your spouse does, or
right.
yourself, correct.
Right. To cover that. All right, so let's turn to SEP and simple IRAs. Now, SEP IRAs, the contributions into SEP IRAs are entirely made by the employer. So there is no catch-up allowance for those types of accounts because the employer is making all of the contributions. But for the simple IRA, this is where the individual has the opportunity to put contributions out of their own paycheck, and the employer may match that. But for the employee, you do get a catch-up allowance, and that is $3,000 more, which takes you up to $17,000 for 2022 for simple IRAs. So you see, this can make a difference in those remaining years right up to retirement, that you can accelerate those contributions and get more into your plan so you have more to use.
It can really add up. If you're over age 50, oh my gosh, another $3,000. Most are putting this money in every month, easier to budget, whatever that number is, up to the $3,000 per year, but it does add up over time.
Right, and Dennis, it's a good idea. If you haven't started saving for retirement, or maybe you have really low balances in your plan at work or your IRA, as you get older, you're usually making more. These are your peak income years. And as the kids go off on their own and go off your payroll.
And hopefully independent.
Right, and hopefully independent, and they're no longer on your payroll, so you might have more money available to save. So make a conscious choice to think about that opportunity, because that can help on taxes as well and have other implications. But just because you don't have a lot, you can still make a difference for your future if you start now. So if you haven't done it before, really take a look at starting, even if you're over 50, because you have this extra bit that you can put in.
Interesting. I'm studying for continuing education for CPWA, the Certified Private Wealth Advisor, and one of the key components of this is, because it's not an immediate gratification sort of thing, it tends to be more difficult to save money because you're trying to think of the long term. So as Heidi's mentioning here, you want to try to focus, too, on the long-term benefits of this. And we've seen that, so it's easier for us to picture this. But if a retired couple or person has saved, it gives them so many more options out there as they're older and retired to determine, you know, how are we going to spend this income? What's that look like? What about our taxes? All these sorts of things. It does make things more complex, but it also gives you more options, and that's huge for retirement planning.
Certainly is. And so let's talk about those employer plans, the 401ks, the 403bs, the 457bs, all of those types of employer plans. Now, the catch-up contribution is $6,500, which can bring you to a total of $27,000 for 2022. So that makes the normal contribution level for people under 50 at $20,500. But just pointing out the extra space you have there, if you're in an employer plan, you know, if you're doing it on your own, that's great with an IRA, but in an employer plan, you have even extra space there where you can save even more. So a couple of special provisions for a couple of different kinds of plans. We have the 403B plans. Now, 403B plans are usually public school plans or
hospitals.
Charities may have them, hospitals. So those are 403B plans. So they allow employees with at least 15 years of service with the employer to make up to an additional $3,000 of annual catch-up contributions. There is no age requirement for this catch-up. It can be used on top of the age 50 catch-up, which is the ones we've been talking about. However, there is a lifetime limit of $15,000 for the 15 years of service catch-up. So that's just even more they're putting on the plate that you can take advantage of. Which brings me to the point, you can tell from what we've just been talking about in the last few minutes, it's complicated. There's a lot of rules. Just because if you're in different plans, the rules are different for each kind of vehicle. So checking with your financial advisor or some kind of financial professional is really important, especially if you want to take advantage of these. You want to do it the right way and take full advantage of what's available to you. Now let's move on to 457B plans. These are for state and local government plans. Also, they are for key management and other high-paid employees of tax-exempt employers. They're called top hat plans. And 457 plans can allow age 50 catch-up of up to $6,500, so the same as the 401k. And an even more lucrative catch-up is available to participants in both types of 457B plans for each of the last 3 years before the retirement age. So the last 3 years, this is a true catch-up because it is available only for employees who have not maximized prior 457 deferrals. And what they allow you to do is double the limit. So if your limit's $20,500, it doubles to $41,000. So the key there is people who have not maximized. If you haven't been maxing out your contribution each year, they're allowing through this calculation for you to push the bar even higher.
Oh, that's a significant amount, too. So yeah. $41,000 for 2022 is the max someone could potentially put in for that portion. It's awesome.
Yeah. All right. And so that's a lot of the IRA and plan options, but there's one other type of account that has a catch-up, and that is your HSA.
Your health savings account.
That's right.
You bet.
So for high deductible plans, many times they'll allow an HSA, which is where you can put money in to pay for medical expenses. So it's tax deductible going into the HSA. It's not taxed money for contributing, and it's not taxed on the way out as long as you use it for those medical expenses. One of the best types of situations there. You get to use your full dollar.
Exactly. I would say it's the best kind of plan that you can look at in terms of being able to deduct it going in and non-taxable coming out if you're using it for health-related expenses.
Right.
Significant. You bet.
So the age, though, is different for HSA. It's not that 50. It's age 55. And the amount of the catch-up contribution is $1,000. So for 2022, the total contribution limit, including the catch-up, is $4,650 for individuals and $8,300 for families.
So significant amounts you can set aside in there, too. So many times people have these self-limiting messages, if you will, going on in their minds. Well, I can't save anymore, or I don't have access to that. Really review this sort of thing. I've talked to so many professionals who didn't realize that, oh, I can do a Roth inside of my 403B or 401K. I'm not limited by my income. No. So you might actually, those little differences can make a huge difference at the end if you can take advantage of those really competitive retirement accounts.
Right,
because
age 50, you may have 10 or more years that you could be doing this extra amount.
Yes, adds up over
time. One thing I will point out is timing is important. Remember, when you're in an employer plan, it's a calendar year to put in those contributions, January 1st to December 31st. But if you're doing a traditional IRA or Roth, an individual one on your own, you can make contributions all the way up until your tax filing deadline, which usually is April 15th, but lately it seems like it's a different day every year. Right. So
tax filing deadline with no extensions on the regular IRA, on the SEP IRA, and some other self-employed plans up to the date of your filing with extensions is allowed.
From the text line, somebody wondered if you could repeat the name of the economist. Was there just one economist that you quoted from?
The economist I mentioned from the UK, I think, is what he's referring to. That would be Charles Goodhart.
Charles Goodhart.
From the UK, former UK central banker. Okay. Basically credited with having a significant positive impact on the UK economy. A very, very good banker.
Charles Goodhart. Yep. Also, this message, I think, is in reference to your quantum computers. It says, but can they make a sandwich?
Sorry, not available. It does not compute.
Not
yet.
Finally, someone said, check out IRS Form 1099-C, which is debt cancellation, which is taxable income. FYI.
Yeah, we'll see whether or not they give some sort of a waiver on this sort of thing. Right. I can see them doing that. If it is actually signed into law, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah.
That we wade into politics way too easily here. We'll see whether or not that actually gets through all of the flack that's going to be addressed against it. Oh, yeah. I think there'll be significant challenges to it. Deanne Jennings, so glad to have you here with us. As you were introducing yourself in the break there, I was thinking about Yes, and she's got a great singing voice, too.
Oh.
In fact, whenever she'd sing, Jill, my wife, would go, oh, my gosh, that's the most incredible thing ever. She has the best voice.
Deanne?
Alto. Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Alto
maybe,
voice.
Maybe we could get you and Deanne. I don't know. Do you sing, Heidi?
No, I don't.
Like, maybe if time, like coming up around Christmas, maybe do a duet here.
Yeah, we could try something. Man. Some Christmas music.
I can play the cymbals or something.
We'll give it a shot.
The mouth harp or something.
There you go.
All right. Here are the stats for this week. 63% of 2005 registered voters surveyed in January 2022 support a complete ban on stock trading for all members of Congress. And that source is Morning Consult.
Can you imagine that, Ron? Why would they ever want to do that? Huh?
My goodness.
I wonder if they would vote for that.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. The number of job openings in the United States was 10.698 million as of June 2022, off from an all-time peak of 11.855 million in March 2022. A decade ago, the number of job openings in the United States was 3.911 million, and that source is Bureau of Labor Statistics.
So almost three times.
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh.
The percentage of Americans lacking health insurance coverage fell to just 8% in the first quarter of 2022, the lowest percentage ever for the United States. In 2010, before the Affordable Care Act was implemented, 16% of Americans did not have health insurance, a total of 48.3 million people, and the source is Department of Health and Human Services. After reaching an all-time U.S. high of $457,000 in April 2022, the median sales price of new homes sold in the USA has fallen during the last 2 months to $402,400 in June 2022, its lowest level since June 2021, and the source is Census Bureau.
Man, interesting, and we were talking before the show, as Deanne was reviewing this, it's about a 12% decline, kind of matching, if you will, the decline in the stock market. So believe it or not, prices of homes can go up and down. Now, I'm not sure how applicable or accurate that rate would be, if you will, to the Traverse City region. It may be down somewhat, but given the demand, I would say it's going to be relatively strong still. Learning from other people's mistakes. Warren Buffett said, it's good to learn from your mistakes. It's better to learn from other people's mistakes. I like that. Learning from other people's mistakes. Now, what's going on here is this one rollover per year rule. The once per year rollover rule applies to all of a person's IRAs. Doesn't just apply to each IRA account separately. So in theory, you couldn't say, well, I've got three IRAs. Can I do once per year rollover on each one? Well, you could, but two of them will wind up being taxable and or penalized depending on your age. So you can do once per year rollover per individual.
And it's a 365-day year, not a calendar year.
Correct. So what happened here, there was this Bobro case filed in 2014, resulted in a more restrictive interpretation of the one-year rollover rule, a total game changer for IRA transactions. And it goes on to tell the story of Mr. Bobro and how he got sidelined by the IRS because he did more than one. So you want to be careful if you're going to take some money out of an IRA to use for the short term. You know that you have a 60-day rollover option. Well, you can put that money back in within the 60 days, and that amount is not taxable if you do it once per year. That's the key. Well, it's not such a big deal if it's $5,000. It is, of course, if it's $100,000 or $200,000. You need some short-term funds. The IRA can be very helpful for that. But keep in mind there's some limitations, and you have to get it back in by the 60-day deadline. That's another issue where people wind up sideways, if you will. Next, the 20% mandatory withholding does not apply to IRAs. It is only applicable to rollover distributions from company plans. So company plans have to withhold 20% when they take the funds,
for taxes.
When you take the funds out for taxes and or any penalties if those apply. It is a standard 20%. But if you're taking money of an IRA, out of an IRA, there is no standard amount. You can pay zero tax all the way up to all of it in tax, depending on where your tax bracket is and where your tax situation is. So keep that in mind. You don't have to pay tax on that distribution, although in most cases you should if you're going to keep it for yourself, you know, your own use, if you will.
All righty. Well, that will wrap it up for this edition of New Retirement Radio. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Heidi. Thank you, Deanne.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.